the Gospel of John, chapter 5. And for sake of time, we'll start at verse 5. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years, when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. Now drop your eye to verse 14. After Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now we know that the Lord has promised to bless his word to us. We sought in a simple way yesterday to direct our minds outside time altogether and think of the big thing concerning eternity. Had a little word about heaven. Nice to know, as a Christian, there's such a place, 580-odd references to it in the Bible, 70 references to hell in the Bible. So in eternity, there's one of two destinies. And it's when a person's convinced of this, there is a God. And as Edmund has said to us already, we're living in a day when it's a popular thing, no God. I think I told you, I went to one house, wasn't in East Belfast, it was in West Belfast, and we rapped the door, and the fellow came to the door. Oh, he says, I don't want your track. You die as a dog, and that's the end. I said, I'm very interested, because I don't know, I would like you to explain that to me. But he says, everybody knows. I said, I'm sorry, I don't know. How do you know that? He says, well, I just accept what everybody says. He says, how do you know there's an afterword? I pulled out a little Bible and I said, I'd rather believe that than what somebody says down the street. Huh? This Bible is the Word of God. It's being fulfilled in front of our very eyes after prophecies 2,000 years more in the Bible. Happening in our day. I'm glad we have a Bible. That Bible tells us that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. There is a God. It also says that every man and every woman will give an account of themselves to God. So it's good to be ready. Do you get that now? Because heaven, as we saw yesterday, is a prepared place for a prepared people. And you won't get there by accident. There has to be a preparation. And that's only through the work of the Lord Jesus on Calvary himself. Now I want you to see tonight a big change in this man's life in John's Gospel chapter 5. I want you first of all to see in the man that the man, time was passing him by. It's a big thing when time passes you by. He had been actually lying at this pool for 38 years. Imagine wasting your time like that. Now, will you take it kindly from one who loves you this evening? Every moment, every second, a person remains in their sin. It's wasted time. Now, do you get that? Because the only profitable thing for eternity is when a person uses their time for the glory of God that we're going to meet in a coming day. Time was passing. Want to think about that. Then his trouble was persistent. He had it all these years. And the problem is this, it was his own fault to start with. Verse 14 tells us about his sin. The Lord tells us about that. He was in this condition because of his sin. That's a big thing, isn't it? I said before, look, sin always pays wages. Now, we know the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But it pays wages in time. You wonder why suicide rates is up? You wonder why people today are in alcohol, drugs, and all that sort of thing? Sin is very enticing. It starts small, but it binds a person so much, and it holds them with such a grip that they can't break it, and only the power of Christ will break it. Persistent, this problem. Then I want to think about the fact that his trying was fruitless. Pointless. It wouldn't have mattered what he'd done for himself. He couldn't have altered his problem. And we're not preaching religion. Too much religion in the world. And every religion that I know of will tell me you have to do. I turn to the Bible and I read that all the doing has been done, that Christ has died at the cross, and the hardest thing for a soul to do is to do nothing and accept that somebody else has done it for you. You get that now? So this dear man, his trying was pointless. Then he trusted in a person. The Lord Jesus. Imagine the Lord Jesus having an interest in a man like this. You know what rejoices my heart? Our brother says he had an interest in him at 14. He had an interest in me in this hall when I was 15 and a half. And I got saved in that little back room. And you can do your homework if you want. But I'm 81 coming in July. And how good is the God we adore? Because I put my whole trust in a person. And that person was the Lord Jesus. I can sing tonight, wonderful Savior. Jesus, my Jesus. Wonderful Savior. Do you know him? Jesus, my Lord. Now, first of all, this man, time passing. There he is. And when I look at this man, I just picture individuals in a gospel meeting. You know, time passing, isn't it? There was a dear man came to meetings we had in Belfast. And he turned out to be around the 70 mark. And we used to think that was old until we got to where we are. But anyhow. And he was very anxious one night. He stayed behind. He said, if I die, I'll be lost for eternity. But here's what he said. What would God do with a man like me, the fag end of my life, he said. Some wouldn't even know what that is, the fag end of the life. Yeah, nothing to offer God. I said to him, isn't it amazing that a man at the one side of the cross had only a few hours to live, and the Lord was interested in him. I think it was a couple of weeks after that. He told me he had got saved, and he lived about 6 years afterwards to prove the reality of salvation. But I tell you, time's passing. And when the Bible says we know not what a day will bring forth, don't you tell me that you can guarantee tomorrow for yourself. I couldn't guarantee an hour tonight. I couldn't guarantee a second. Life's passing. Passing. I used to, in my grandmother's house, she had a little timer. They all have electronic ones today. but she had a wee mechanical one. I used to be fascinated. I turned it, and you saw the sand going down, down, until I think it was about 10. Every time I didn't turn this thing, but boy, a man in the gospel meeting one night preaching, he said, "Your life's like a timer, and the sand's running out." And you see, every time I turned that afterwards, every second. Look, we're 6 weeks past. We're in the 7th week of meetings. Where does it go? They say to me, when you get older, it goes faster. But it's going the same speed for everyone. Oh, my sincere desire is that you get to Christ before you waste your life. That's what it's all about. And he was helpless. He could do nothing for himself. And there he was lying. And here's what struck me was, he says, "I've lay here and I've seen others getting saved. I have now. Others got down in before me. I saw the change that took place in their life. And I wanted it and I couldn't get it." Even in these meetings, you've seen a change in some people, haven't you? Of course you have. Salvation makes a change. Oh, boys, I wouldn't fill the shoes of anybody that's not saved in the meeting for £1 million. Or they're talking in billions now. You see, when a person gets Christ, there's a big change now. There has to be a change. And I'm no longer living for myself. I'm living for the glory of God. And it's often been said, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. You're under new management, if you please. And here's a man. I'm glad he was taking notice that others got down before him. I'm glad he saw others getting this great business of their need sorted out. But he says, "You see me? When it comes to man, I have no man to put me in. I can depend on nobody. I'm glad I got to a point where I had to accept this. I'm not depending on any man. Thank you very much. If anybody tells you you're saved, forget it. There's only one who can save. There's a man in the glory. God's beloved Son that went to the cross. What a work. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished," was his cry. "Now in heaven exalted high." Hallelujah. What a Savior. And he says to many in the New Testament, "Thy faith hath made thee whole," or saved thee. So we come to the Bible and we say, okay, if no man can save me, then how do I get saved? Well, faith in Christ will save you. Sinner, trust God's risen Son. Trust the work that he has done. Not the gospel hall. Not baptism. Not religious ordinances. Trust the work that he has done. To his arms now quickly run. Faith in Christ will save you. I had many friends that tried to help. The trouble is, if I had to depend on what they said, they're all dead. That wouldn't bring much comfort, would it? But you see, the one that I am depending on, do you know, they took his lovely body down. When he said it's finished, they removed him off the cross. They wrapped him in those burial bands. And they led him in a new tomb. But a big thing happened the third day. When they went to the tomb, the stone was rolled away. And it wasn't a wee bit of a stone. It was nearly 13.5 feet round. God done that. Rolled it. Not to let the Lord out. good. People see the evidence that he's not here. And that's why we don't believe in the Shroud of Turin, if you please. It shows the full bodily outline of something. But when we go to the Bible, his clothes were there at one end of the tomb. And the napkin over his head was at another end of the tomb. Separate. Eh? Up from the grave he rose. That's the man I'm depending on tonight. That's the one that took away my sin and bore them on Calvary's cross. That's the one that said it's finished and God is satisfied. And if God's satisfied, why should I not be satisfied? And the Lord comes to the man, knowing him. Mind you, it's good when you're under the eye of heaven, knowing him, knowing all about him. And knowing he had been in that state a long, long time, 38 years. And the Lord says a very strange thing. He said, look, take up your bed and walk. He could have said, sure. I've lay here for 38 years. And nobody else could help me. And you're telling me to take up my bed and walk? There's not a question in this person's mind. Immediately the Lord says, look, here it is now. You roll up that little bed and you walk away. You go away home. He gets the miracle. He gets up. He rolls up the bed. Puts it on the shoulder. Immediately. Oh. There's people I know that have been waiting 5 years for therapy. Because their old joints are not working too well. And the Lord brought about this wonderful change in the man's life immediately. What a Savior we have in glory. You don't drift into salvation. It's a moment when you're in your sins. It's another moment when you put your faith in Christ. And just at that moment you take it in. Oh, the wonder, Jesus died for me. You just accept it. And the power comes afterwards. And what's the power? The Holy Spirit gives the person the ability and strength to live for the glory of God. And you say to yourself, hey, is that him walking down the street? Bit of a change in that man. Of course there's a change in that man. By faith he put his dependence on what Christ done and said. And there's the evidence going down the road. However, just a minute now. He's in the temple. That's good. He's not at the pool now. He's in the temple. And the Lord meets him in the temple. And the Lord said to him now, you go and sin no more. No more sin. Now, Christians do sin. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But I tell you, can you see the change now? He just accepted what Christ done for him. I would love you to put your trust in a person you've never seen. That's what it's all about. I never stood at Calvary. But I believe the Lord Jesus was lifted up on the cross. I never witnessed an open tomb, but I believe up from the grave he rose. I never heard him say, come unto me, but I believe the Bible says, come unto me. And as a guilty sinner, we came to Jesus as we were, weary and worn and sad, found in him a resting place. I hope every Christian's rejoicing. We can all say, and he has made me glad. Life only started here when he met Christ. And I tell you, before you get too far down the broad road, make a U-turn, that's repentance, and take the Lord as your Savior, and then you can go on your way rejoicing. May the Lord bless to us his word this evening. Shall we pray?